Welcome back to the couch, everybody. Welcome into another NBA episode. It is so close to that time of year. We are 9 days away from the play-in tournament beginning and just under 2 weeks from the playoffs, Max. We just watched the Oklahoma City Thunder get clobbered by the Lakers. Lakers couldn't miss a shot. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, that was pretty tough because it's not a great NBA slate tonight, and that was kind of the big one. And that was a tough watch, honestly. Like I thought it was interesting at first, and then it was just one of those nights for the Lakers they couldn't miss. So I got a
Oh
little
my God,
tired of
yeah.
that game.
Everything went in. Luka was ridiculous,
Yeah.
shot making, creation wise, all of it. Houston Golden State's on tonight. I'm excited for that one. But yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I hope that one's a little bit closer. I think it will be, but I'm hoping it's a good game.
Houston's been playing amazing. Jalen Green is having that is he all-star
Dude,
thing again.
when are you
It's
gonna
like,
let this
well,
rest?
it's just like every March, Jalen Green just decides to not miss for the entire month. And he's carried that over into the start of April. So I'm just saying it's something to look for. That's all.
I know. It's like if the guy every single time we watch him, it's a is this guy good or is he bad type situation. He
I'm
might
just
just
saying
not. He might just be medium.
for the last month, it's been, is this guy good? Okay.
True.
All
And then the
right.
month before that, it was like, is this guy
Should they trade him? Yeah.
bad? So, and it's been like that literally every single month in the league for Jalen Green. It's okay, this is a good month. Okay, this is a bad month. Okay, this is a
All
good
right.
month. He might just be one of those guys. But he's also like our age, younger than us. So, it's hard. It's hard to say. But this has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
Yeah,
So,
we got a
go
fun
ahead.
gimmick today. Max was having some NBA thoughts and thinking about this old guard of stars that we have now and all these old guys that have been playing at an extremely high level for so long, but also seeing the younger generation of stars coming up, and thinking about those two generations kind of clashing in this playoffs. And we decided to think about, who of the young stars we would compare to the older generation of stars. Does that sound like what we're doing, Max?
Yeah, it's a little convoluted, so we'll try our best to, make sense of it. But basically, the idea is, as Jordan said, this playoffs is kind of where we could potentially see a changing of the guard. We have a bunch of older teams. If you talk about like Golden State and the Lakers, and other teams, that are the Celtics, obviously. And then you have a bunch of these younger teams where they're starting to make a name for themselves. You have, Pistons that come out of the East and the Pacers and the Jesus is a lot harder than I thought it would be. The Nuggets are older as well, and the Rockets are young, and Minnesota's a younger team. Like you have this kind of weird you have these teams that are manned by these younger stars and these teams that are manned by these older stars. They're gonna come to clash. It'll be interesting. Obviously, headlined by this is like this Cleveland team and this OKC team. Those are two younger teams. So now we always talk about how playoff scars and playoff experience really pay off. And it's gonna be interesting to see because there's potential where we might be having this changing of the guard type situation where maybe we start end up taking OKC actually seriously if they go ahead and win the title, or maybe it's just they're too young to do it right now and they lose and don't make it to the finals and it's an older team that makes it. So I was thinking about that while I was driving around and I was like, well, okay, we have a bunch of characters in the NBA that are sort of becoming older and are starting to phase out and age out. And who's going to take their place, right? This summer, we had a big conversation. Who is going to be the face of the NBA? That was kind of the big thing after the Olympics and after just different things in the media were going on. There was a question about does the NBA have a star problem? Who's going to be the face of the NBA? And that's kind of where this thought process happened. So Jordan and I went ahead and we picked some of the stars that are older, and we're going to try and compare them to the stars that are younger and who we think is going to fill their shoes, if you will. Now, these aren't going to be perfect, obviously, but we'll kind of explain our rationale as we go. And one thing, you and I both, we talked about this. We sort of mix and match between whether we did a career comp or a play style comp. So, for example, Steph Curry is a good example of this. One way you could think about it is like best shooter in the league for a while, best player in the league at points throughout the years, never left his team, and was a multi-time champion, right? So there's one way of thinking about it where it's multi-time champion, never left his league, best player in the league, a few times out of a decade. Or there's the other way of looking at it. It's like all-time greatest three-point shooter. So it's like which two ways to look at a different player because he is kind of there's the career way of looking at him and the play style way of looking at him. So Jordan, why don't you go first? Let's talk about Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, so I think we both have the same guy for this guy, but T-Mac was always this like ultra talented guy, somebody who, could have changed franchises, maybe didn't quite live up to his expectations. His body breaks down at some point, but always was this hyper talented guy with a ton of expectations on him. And I think we compared him to Zion. At least that's what I did. Zion obviously coming into the league, one of the most hyped prospects of all time. And then every time he's on the court for me, I think he is absolutely unstoppable. He is one of my favorite players to watch when he's healthy. If health concerns didn't exist, like I think Zion is a top 15 player, because he is just that unstoppable of an offensive player, as a scorer, as a bully ball guy, as a guy who can, handle and play make at that size, all of it with him. He's just incredible, but we have this super, debilitating injury concern with him that just makes you worried about where his career will go. And it's made us worried about what happens to the Pelicans franchise.
Absolutely. So Tracy McGrady comes out of the draft. He's poised to be the next LeBron type player, right? He's supposed to be this humongous star, future face of the league, much like Zion coming out of Duke. And really, injuries just kind of tear him apart. And he's never really reaching the potential of what we expect him to be. Now, there's been flashes throughout his career in terms of Tracy McGrady. There was a bunch of flashes throughout his career where they were like, this guy has the stuff. If he can just stay healthy, he can make it. And it just obviously never happens for him. And he's a good NBA player. He had a solid career, but he would be widely considered not a bust by any means, but he would be widely considered someone who didn't get to the peak of what we thought he could be. And I think Zion is someone that is in danger of becoming that. He already is that, right? Whenever he does play, he is extremely impactful and interesting to watch, and someone that we can absolutely see being a top 10 player in the league. But if the guy just doesn't play, I mean, he's already out for the season again. Now, granted, there's only like 8 games left, but he played what, 32 games, I think, this
I think they
season.
just shut him down, but yeah.
They shut him down, but he played like what, 32 games? I mean, what are you shutting him down for? You're not going to win any games. I guess I kind of get it. You're not going to win any games. None of these games are meaningful. It's not like he played, 75 games and you're shutting him down for the last eight because you're going
Yeah.
nowhere. This guy didn't play, right? So game reps are game reps when you have so few of them. And I mean, at this point, I think they really need to move on from him this summer. And I don't even know what they would get for him because he looked good when he was back, right? He was skinny. He looked really solid. He was playing well. And I mean, they shut him down for a reason, Jordan. So I think Zion is definitely in danger of becoming this, where he is starting to get to the point now where we kind of know what we're getting from him. And it's going to be someone who doesn't necessarily bring himself in shape or that locked in. And when he is in shape, he's great, but his body just isn't, maybe human bodies just aren't meant to be his size and jump and play the way that he does. So he's kind of scary in that. But I don't know. How are you feeling about Zion's career right now?
Yeah, I mean, he played 70 games last year, which was really encouraging. But before that, 29. Before that, missed the whole season. 61 in his second year, and only 24 his rookie year. But I wouldn't go as far as they should definitely move on from him. I mean, obviously, you look at every trade available and what you can get. But I really like this Pelican squad, and it's just going to be so hard for me, like going into next year, to not think that they're going to be way better. And a lot of that stems from Zion, but I think for the Pelicans, like you look at what you have with Trey Murphy, with Zion, with Herb Jones, and they just have had some really bad injury luck, not just with Zion, but with all their guys. So,
Yeah, DeJounte.
I mean, you think about, what the Pelican season would have looked like if Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, DeJounte, if all the other guys other than Zion had normal seasons, would they be kind of in the play-in hunt, and would they have healthy Zion for a playoff run right now? So I don't think you should definitely trade him. They're going to get a high draft pick, and if you can, Zion's still young. So I'm pretty optimistic for the Pels. Like, I think they're going to be, at least for a couple seasons, put some really fun seasons together. Now, if Zion still can't stay healthy through that stuff and he misses full playoff runs, then yeah. And that's another reason I thought about comparing him to Kawhi for this, but then I thought about Kawhi's career and how much success he had early on, and also the level that Kawhi got to, just like in that 2019 run, being the best player in the league. And I didn't quite see that happening for Zion.
It's year five. I know he's young. He's 24. He's also,
Yeah.
there's a joke on the Ringer NFL fantasy show where it's like, you're either 24 or you're about to be 25. Like that's the, if you have injuries, you're about to be 25. But if you're looking good, you're 24, if that makes sense. Like the way you talk about him. And Zion's definitely one of those about to be 25 guys where it's like, yeah, he's about to be 25. And I think when you hit 25, you're still extremely young, obviously, in the league. But it's his fifth season in the league. He's played half a decade in the league here. He still hasn't figured something out. I mean, if I'm the Pelicans, right, you're right. This is the year from hell. You've had every injury possible happen to you. But I don't think that means you can't explore moves for Zion, especially if you still have hope in him. I'm sure there's other front offices that can, talk themselves into him as a prospect because he has shown those flashes. Why not sell relatively high on him? I mean,
Because why wouldn't you try and build around it? I mean, like
because
I don't think,
they've been trying to build around it.
I guess so, but we haven't seen, like, Trey Murphy is really starting to blossom. I think if you had a healthy roster, like with all these guys, it could be a really scary team.
Yeah, but if you had a healthy roster, maybe that's not built around Zion being healthy. I mean, like, what if we know our answer? He's not going to be healthy. Like, I mean, it's just kind of what
He
it
would
is.
he
I
like
mean,
he's healthy right now. He would have played
he just
if
got
they
shut
were
down
in the
for
play-in.
injuries. He got
Yeah, but
shut down
it's
for injuries.
BS. They're just tanking.
I guess. I mean,
He got hurt.
are you sure about that? I don't know. I'm a little worried. What? How shocked would you be if they found any sort of success? Like, what do you think the ceiling of this team is with the Pelicans,
What,
with
like next
Zion?
year?
No, like in the future with building around Zion and Trey.
I mean, I it's impossible to say. Like, he's too young to know that, and we don't know what draft picks they're going to get and what guys they're going to bring in. I think if you're telling me Zion's going to be healthy, they're the sky's the limit, seriously. And especially with what they have around him, I like what they have around him. If it was just an injury-prone Zion and he was on a team like, I don't know, the Wizards with no talent around him, I'd be like, okay, maybe you reset and you try and find the new guy. But they have real building blocks here. I don't know why you'd just throw it away. Anyways, we can move on.
I think they know the new guy. For me, I think it's like you start building, looking to build around Trey Murphy and Herb Jones and those types of guys. And Zion, you can bring in a really nice piece with Zion and kind of build out from there. I mean, they still got young pieces. I'm not saying to blow the entire team up. I'm saying your big asset is Zion Williamson. Why not look to move him? I mean, I think if I personally would be extremely surprised if Zion finds success in New Orleans. I'm not selling out on Zion as a whole. I think it's a change of scenery type situation where he probably just needs to get out of the city and get into clear a better maybe a better coaching staff or a city that actually cares about basketball. Those games are rarely filled, and even when they're good, the smoothie center sucks. Like those, I don't know if that's a city that necessarily loves basketball or cares about basketball in that fashion. I've watched a lot of player podcasts where they're like, what's the worst stadium? And a lot of them have said the New Orleans Smoothie King Center. Like that's one aspect of it. It's probably hard to get going and play well in that area. But I also just think I would be extremely surprised if Zion Williamson is successful with the Pelicans. Clearly there's some like disconnect between him and the health staff over there because those guys are all injured. Like there's, and that's kind of been a thing. Like Lonzo got injured there. Anthony Davis had a fair share of injuries over there. Ingram had a lot of injuries over there. Then the rest of the entire team this year had injuries. Like at some point, it's got to be like, what's going on with this coaching staff in New Orleans? And maybe just a change of scenery is better for everyone. I think I'm leaning more towards that than him figuring it out in New Orleans and getting everything going well for him, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't know. I don't see it that way. I wouldn't. If I was the Pels, I wouldn't, but I get it. All right, let's go to our
Yeah.
next guy, which is Steph Curry. Did you have a who is the next Steph Curry?
I think he's kind of one of a kind, man. I don't know. I looked at it from two ways, and I described this in the opening as an example, but you can look at it one way, which is best player in the NBA at a few times throughout the last two decades. He stayed with the same team and had a bunch of success and was an NBA champion. I don't know. Like, if you look at it that way, I was leaning towards Wemby, and I think that's who I would have there potentially, but I didn't put him there. And then the other way would just be best shooter in the league for many years straight. And that one I really didn't know. So I didn't come up with one, but what did you come up with?
Yeah, I had SGA for this, and I know SGA is 26 and he's already in his prime, so it's not like he's the next Steph Curry. But I do think when you look at the career trajectory for Steph, of what you said, like being drafted and developed with Golden State, SGA wasn't, drafted to the Thunder, but he's going to be there, I think, for, most of his career. And I just looked at it as like the best guard, really, in the NBA, and a guy who's, ultra consistent, stays out of trouble, like good teammate, and a good leader, but kind of a lower key personality, and just a guard that can like put a team on his back offensively. So that's what I went with.
That's a good one. Yeah, I see that one for sure. I had SGA and some other stuff, so I didn't put him here, but that's a good one. The next one is the next to LeBron. I think we might have the same one for this one. What did you have?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, I have Wemby, but again, it's like they're so different because Wemby's from France, because he's 7'4". Like, I still just don't know if he's going to have the star power that LeBron did, being a guy who was, born and raised in the USA, who was getting covered heavily from the time he was in high school, who was deemed the chosen one at 18 years old. LeBron is so unique, but I think when you look at a guy like LeBron, who was the best player in the league for so long, Wemby's going to be that as well. And there's no other way to, there's no other next LeBron. So it has to be Wemby almost by default because we think he's going to be the best player for, about a decade.
See, we've known about Wemby. I don't. This is where it kind of pushed back. I think it fits a lot better than you do. Like, we've known about Wemby for a while. I mean, we were talk. I know we were texting about those Metropolitan '92 games with like watching Phil Pressey pass to him and all that shit. But it's like, I mean, people were League Pass added the ability to watch a French team that wasn't even a good team. It wasn't even like the top league in France, so you could go watch a young Wemby play. We've known about him for years. The NBA is clearly looking towards making him the face of the league. And as the league becomes a more global sensation, I think he's just going to only get more and more popular, because especially because he's not American. And I think there's going to be a bunch of kids that see basically a my player where you can turn all the stats all the way up, make him 7 foot whatever, and make him insane at every aspect of the game. And they're going to be able to see that on the TV. I do think people are going to tune in for him. And I think the type of person he is, where he's very calculated, he knows that his body and him as a person is an asset, and he takes care of himself and prepares himself. He's very LeBron-esque in that way, where LeBron, even as a high schooler, knew what his potential was, and you have to give him credit. He never faltered from that. He's always taken top care of himself and always prepped himself to be the best that he can absolutely be. And I see Wemby becoming that, and I think Wemby fits into this mold a lot better. They're not anywhere near each other in play style, but in terms of career trajectory, someone that will be the face of the league, will be the best player in the league for many years in a row. And I think Wemby might even have some longevity in the league, which is crazy to say based off of his size, but I think they fit pretty well. So I also had Wemby there. Any pushback on that, or do you want me to go to the next one?
I mean, I think the personality difference with them is a big thing for me too. Like
Yes.
Wemby is so quiet and like mature beyond his years, and LeBron is basically like a big kid who's just like a goofball and like outgoing and trying to, posting Taco Tuesday videos. Like Wemby's not doing that stuff.
No, but they're both calculated. They both know what they're doing. Like Wemby, they both come to the media. Let's put it this way: they both come to the post game conference with a book. Wemby's actually reading that book. LeBron is not reading that book. That's the difference.
LeBron's not reading it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of feel like Wemby, this would have worked better as the next Jokic, because they're both foreign and because they're
Oh, I
both
kind of
big
see
men.
that.
But
Yeah, and they're kind of nonchalant.
yeah, I don't know.
I see it.
All right, let's go to our next guy. We have the next Kobe Bryant.
I think we both have the same one here. Just not the greatest passer. can get would complain. I don't think he would complain about a double team, but definitely wouldn't be thrilled about a double team, just because it means he might have to pass out of it. Someone that is a relentless trash talker, a relentlessly hardworking person. He, I think, is very divisive in the media now. I think I would say like probably 70% of NBA fans absolutely love this guy, and then the 30% that don't like him really don't like him. I feel like that's kind of the same way how Kobe was until ultimately he passed, and that kind of changes a lot of things. But to me, this guy, just the mentality, the work ethic, it's got to be Ant Edwards, right?
Yeah, I have Ant too. And this one, like the play style, you can see a lot of the similarities. The freaky athleticism, the size, shooting guard who can just get buckets and take over games. But yeah, and the not passing and like Ant needs to make a jump as a
Trash
playmaker
talking.
and the trash talk. Yeah, all of it. Also, like Kobe was so popular at his peak, like
Yeah.
the most popular guy maybe in league history, debatably. And Ant has a chance to reach a really high level of popularity as well. So I think that one fits pretty perfectly.
But it's gonna be interesting because I actually think Ant will reach that throughout of basketball endeavors, and I don't know if Kobe reached it because of that. I think he reached it because of how popular he was basketball wise.
Yeah.
There's just more eyes on him. I think Ant's gonna get more popular as viewership kind of dwindles a little bit, and I think it's gonna continue to kind of go down a little bit. I think Ant's gonna become extremely popular due to his personality and the different social media things that he's doing. Like, he was already in a movie and he was incredible in that movie. He was in
He was
Hustle.
so
He was
good.
really good.
He's a good
Like, as
actor.
guy, like, we do a film podcast, we actually watch a ton of movies, and Ant was incredible in that movie. Like, I didn't like him in the movie. I was like, fuck Ant in this. What was his name? Like, Kermit? Insane name. But anyways, I think there's gonna be more things like that, and he's gonna become extremely popular due to his personality rather than maybe his play style, which it should be. He should be popular for that, but I just think, as you know, I viewership dwindles, it's gonna be that. But so it's an interesting way to look at it. But definitely think, like you said, he has potential to be one of the most popular players in the NBA, and just like Kobe was. So yeah, good one there. Let's do the next one. The next Tim Duncan. So where'd you take this one?
Yeah, this, I mean, we talked about this before and it'll probably get some pushback, but I have Tatum here. I have the guy who's just gonna get drafted to a team, develop there, grow there, have a lot of success early on, a great organization, a very, humble, soft-spoken guy, not gonna, give you a ton of quotes in the media, not gonna get into any trouble off the court, just gonna be a great teammate, a guy who doesn't have a super flashy game, who's giving you highlights on SportsCenter every night, but somebody who's just effective and just impacts the game at a really high level and just wins. So I know that Jason Tatum is not probably going to reach the heights of Tim Duncan because Tim
We can
Duncan
hope.
was, yeah, he was just such a beast and such a legend and had an impact on the game that very few people had or will ever have. But I think Tatum, for a lot of reasons, is very Tim Duncan-esque, and I'm pumped that he is a Boston Celtic.
I think I totally agree. I think I couldn't agree more with everything you said. I think the media paints them both as like boring, and I think people that actually care about the game and care about discussing it in a like a positive, or just discussing it in the way that it's happening, I think you'll see that they're just fundamentally sound and they don't have a lot of drama that comes along with, you know, players that aren't boring. And honestly, I would much rather have boring over someone that's a fucking diva. As someone that is a Steelers fan and we have to deal with a lot of George Pickens drama, it's very frustrating. And the idea that Aaron Rodgers might be joining this shit show is also very frustrating. I would take, you know, Kirk Cousins and like a nice bland receiver that doesn't have a bunch of drama over those two, just because it's a lot easier to run an organization and try and be successful with, you know, two great teammates, which I think Tatum is. I think Duncan and Curry are the two like greatest teammates of all time. I don't know if Tatum necessarily reaches that. He could be up there with those guys at some point because he is such a great teammate, but
Yeah, he's just not as
that's
good
just
as those
the
guys at basketball. That's really.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's like both of those guys were the best players in the NBA at one point,
Yeah.
and both of those guys were the best players in the NBA at multiple different points throughout, you know, one or two decades. I don't think there's ever been a point in the league where Tatum has been the best player in the league, and I don't know if there ever will be. I think he's probably going to be like the top three at the most best players in the league, and that's still really awesome, and I still love that he's on our basketball team. But I totally see you there. I agree with you. I had Tatum as well, just for all those reasons. I think he fits pretty well with what Tim Duncan, you know, brought to San Antonio, and I'm really excited about it, and I hope he stays forever.
How many rings does Tatum retire with?
I think it gets a little scary this year. Obviously, it gets a little scary. I do th I feel confident that they can bring one home this year. After this year is where I get a little worried,
How many
because
rings is Tatum retiring with?
I'm going to go with three.
I was gonna say three as well. I
Yeah.
think there will be some years in here where the Celtics are like, maybe third or fourth or fifth instead of number one or two. in terms of the contenders, but then I think once we get back on track after this little Porzingis Drew era and what the payroll is gonna what it's gonna do to the payroll, there will be a chance to rebuild and or retool around Tatum and Brown, and I think Tatum is gonna be good for a long time. So
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think they, I mean, it kind of depends on what happens this year. I think they're gonna win it this year, so that's two, and then you get one more, you know, with this hypothetical retooling that maybe we're being a bit too optimistic about as Celtics fans.
I picture it like the Warriors two rings, right? They obviously they won a bunch more, but they won one. It's a like 2 or 3 years of, you know, they're not there, and then they win it in 2022.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of where it goes. And I picture something like that where it's like hopefully I'm praying we win it this year. And then, like you just said, it's a retinker. You have to figure out this payroll situation, retinker on the fly, try and figure something out. Might have a down year or two. There are just teams that are going to be better built and well and more put together. Like OKC, man. OKC doesn't win it this year. They have the best asset package in the world to put together for anyone they want, really. If you think about this, they could lose this year, and who are the players that they couldn't trade for? Be Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, they could just come into next year with Giannis and
It's
play.
Jokic and Luka are the two, right? I don't think I seriously, who else would they not be able to trade for?
They can't get Wemby.
Oh yeah, sorry. Jokic, Wembi, and Luka. Yeah, those are the three. I off the top, I'm trying to think anyone else. I literally don't think there's anyone else. Giannis would
Yeah.
be I think Giannis would be hard to get, but I think if you're the Bucks, you don't have much of a future. So the package that they could literally put together for Giannis would be enough where you have to make that trade, or at least like they have the ability to make a person have to make a trade, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like talking about those hypotheticals, but I don't think they're going to do anything crazy like that. Like they just
No.
drafted so well. They just have really good players. Why not
Well,
develop them all together and watch them grow and have them as long as you can?
tell you why, because eventually you need to condense a little bit, and
I mean,
eventually
you
all
need to
the you
condense
can.
with like the role players, but I don't think you need to condense Chet, Dub, and SGA.
I think this is a dub year where you have to. I think this is one where it's like if he doesn't perform this year, I think because you have such great assets, it's one where it's like we could kind of swap this guy out and get someone really good right away in.
Yeah, I don't
It's
know.
only because they're so good, and it's only because they have so much assets. Like if they had a few less assets, I would say you let it ride with J Dub, and you know, figure it out and kind of build with them. But because you're so good, you could literally add a win now guy in that spot. And I'm only saying this if he doesn't perform in the playoffs. He might be incredible in the playoffs, and then you don't have the problem, right? But
I mean, if
do you
you
see what I'm
lose to the
saying?
Celtics in an awesome series in the finals, I don't think there's any reason to trade him.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say you would need to. I agree with that. I'm saying if he stinks in the playoffs, it's like,
Yeah,
okay,
I don't think he's going
that's
to
two
stink.
playoffs in a row that he stinks. We really want to win one. We have this window now. Windows in the NBA are not easy to come by. We have all these assets. We are not physically going to be able to pay all these picks that we have coming up. That's all the other thing. They have to move off for these picks. They're not going to be able to pay all these guys. Why not attach a bunch of picks to J Dub, see what we can get, bring in a win now guy, bring in a Devin Booker, a Kevin Durant, whomever, right?
Booker would be so good on that
Yeah.
team.
It's like
I
that
mean,
number two
anybody would
spot.
be, I guess.
Yeah, but it's that number two spot, that guy that can take the J Dub spot and is a J Dub plus someone that shows up in the playoffs. None of this might matter in 2 weeks. Like that, all of this might
Well,
be
they could just win a ring this year
bullshit.
and be like, yep, we won, and J Dub's 23
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Chet's
That's what I'm
23.
saying. None of th this might at the end of this playoffs, everything I might just said be out the window might just be out the window. But it's worth the conversation, right? So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our next player.
All right, we are back and we are going to give you our next player. We wanted to do KD for this. I think KD had such a unique career just in terms of not only like his play style and being a 7 foot guard essentially, who can handle and score and shoot and move like KD does at that size. Nobody else in NBA history has had that combination, but also to have the career trajectory of leaving OKC for Golden State for the team that beat you, facing all this scrutiny in the media, but winning two championships on the best team of all time. Like, we want someone to be the next KD, but we don't, it's impossible to predict.
I mean, I think you're even like underselling the career aspect of it from going and being the most beloved player, one of the most beloved MVPs of all time on that OKC team when he wins that MVP. Going from the peak of that to joining the enemy and the Warriors after they beat you. and joining their team and becoming the most hated player in the NBA at that time and
Cupcake.
consistently being that, and then getting into a fight with your teammate on that villainous team and leaving and forming the super team, right? Or, and then it's just like
Yeah,
from
it's insane.
there, it's an, like, and that's only half of it. It's like you form the super team that fizzles out, it falls apart, and then again, it's like who's at fault for that, right? Because it's kind of a little bit of everything. Like Kyrie kind of pops off. Harden is, if you look at that, honestly, Harden is the one that you kind of feel the worst for. You end up feeling the worst for because he comes to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Neither of these guys are playing that much, and it if his feet are, you know, a size smaller, we might not even be having this conversation, right? Because he hits that shot, but his foot's on the line, and then the season's over, and this team never gets off the ground, and then he forces his way to Phoenix, and you think like, okay, KD's gonna ball out in Phoenix, and we're gonna like him again, right? And I still love him, but
I
he's not
liked
making
him.
it
I
easy.
liked him. I mean, the initial shock of the Golden State move was hard to defend, but I still liked him. Like, even during
Yeah.
those Warriors finals, I was like, this guy is just unbelievable at
Yeah.
basketball.
He's always been one of my favorites to watch. It's just I'm talking from like a general NBA fan, right?
Yeah.
You think like, okay, he goes to Phoenix. This is a market where there's not like a bunch of hated players, I would say. Like Phoenix, it's not like you're joining like a Celtics or Lakers or Knicks where the rest of the league kind of like scowls. Like I feel like Phoenix is pretty well-liked team. You join Devin Booker, and then it's like this team is one of the most unlikable teams there is in the league right now. So, and now there's probably a potential another move coming for him. I don't know anyone that's had a career like him. The guy
Yeah,
that was best player in the NBA at different
and
points.
you're gonna get, these legacy talks of like, well, he destroyed the Nets, then he destroyed the Suns, like he left OKC and joined the enemy, and it's just not gonna be as focused on how good he was as a player as it should be. So I think it's impossible to predict, like an absurdly talented, generationally talented player that just has all this like media hate and switching teams and all that stuff. You don't see players of KD's level switch teams as much as he did. He's gonna get traded again. Like, this is
Yeah.
it's
And
insane.
he's someone that engages. He's someone that has gotten caught with burner accounts and someone that actively engages with people that like with haters.
Was
So
thinking, like, who
he
could it be? Who could be the next KD who has all this crazy off-court stuff? And I was like, is it Amen Thompson? Is Amen Thompson hiding
No.
some crazy KD? I was like, just trying to fit in all these young guys, and I was like, no, there's
You
nothing.
love
There's
I love
nobody.
Amen, but it's like, come on, dude. He can't shoot yet. Why are we thinking he's gonna be the best player in the league at one point, you
Well,
know?
that's true too. I was just trying
That's
to
the
come up with
That's the
a young
problem. It's
star.
like anytime you think of someone with like, all right, off court, it's not even off court issues. It's like in it, like it, because it's still basketball related. It's not like
Yeah.
it's like not off court issues in terms of like he's shooting guns or like getting in trouble. He's never had like issues in terms of he's not getting arrested or anything. It's more so it's just like issues with management and stuff. So it's like
Yeah.
management issues, right? Okay,
Just
find
not
someone with
being
management
happy
issues.
with your team.
And then also is the best player in the league. Like I can't. That's the part that like, it's like you have to pick someone that has the best player in the league upside and is not stable. And I think all the guys that have best player in the league upside right now, if you're looking at the young guys who you think could at one point be best player, the best player in the league, I don't see them having the instability that KD has. And I wanted to ask you this: KD would not have been as hated if he left the Thunder, right? If he left the Thunder and went somewhere else that wasn't the Warriors, right?
Oh no. Definitely
Yeah,
not. I mean,
it's
he's
just
it
as he went
still
to
would have
Warriors.
been like absolutely heart-wrenching for the OKC fans. But yeah, if he went, I don't know, anywhere else but Golden State, he would not have been as hated.
Yeah, I remember thinking it's they're just mad because he joined the enemy. That it's the team that beat them, and he joined them to win a ring. And it's like, that part sucks, but he had put in more than his time in OKC. Like he had to deal with some weirdly built teams, and it was clear that they were committing to Russ. And I think he saw the writing on the wall of what Russell Westbrook, you know, could be as like a winning player. I think he kind of saw it before the rest of the media and everyone else saw it, where it's like, can this guy really be my number two here and help me win a bunch of championships after we moved on from James Harden? And it's like, I don't blame KD for wanting to leave OKC. It's just the team that he picked. So there's a lot of like very small decisions and very, well, they weren't a small decisions, but like there's a lot of decisions and like small moments that could have changed his career. He's got to be have one of the most fascinating careers ever, and I just don't think there's going to be another one of him.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Our next guy is Kawhi Leonard. Who's the next Kawhi?
Okay, this one is going to be a very hot take, and I'm not someone that likes to do a bunch of hot takes like this, but I just think if you watch them a lot, and I know you do, I think you kind of see it in there. So it's like I looked at him like a toolsy all-around elite player who can potentially be the best player in a league at times, but he does struggle with injuries. May it might have been a little raw coming in, but he's defining everything, and he's kind of putting it all together. He's dealt with injuries as well. I would be surprised if this guy becomes the best player in the league at any point, but I think Trey Murphy, that's who I put there. It's just like it's just like this very lanky, toolsy type of guy. He's an excellent defender. He's a great offensive player. He's kind of putting everything together. If you told me that he went to a team though and led them to a final, like just put him on his back and won a finals, I would be pretty shocked by that. But it's just like I would be shocked. I would be like very shocked, but I wouldn't be like I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But I think, do you see what I'm trying to
Well,
say
Kawhi
here?
was a tough one, and I get what you're
Yeah.
trying to do with the two-way wing star kind of guy. I actually went with Chet Holmgren here, and
Okay.
I went more career trajectory, as in like Chet's gonna have a ton of early success as a really young guy, just like Kawhi did, winning Finals MVP super young with an awesome franchise. Now Kawhi ended up leaving that franchise, and I don't predict that happening for Chet. But I also look at like the injury concerns with Chet, breaking his hip, freak injury, but also like there is always the injury concern when you have a guy that skinny at 7 foot 1 who moves the way Chet does. Kawhi obviously having the injury concern through his whole career. And then I wanted to get someone who was just like an all-time defender potentially in Chet, because that's what Kawhi was in terms of his defensive impact. So I know they're very different styles of player, but you have, you know, early success probably for Chet. You have an unbelievable defensive impact, and you have the injury concerns. That's how I looked at it. But yeah, I know it doesn't
Absolutely.
really make any sense when it's like, yeah, Chet Holmgren's the next Kawhi. It just doesn't sound right.
Yeah. But I mean, Trey Murphy's not the next Kawhi either, but so I hear you. But yeah, you see what I'm saying too, right? Where it's like he's a Kawhi light almost, you know?
Yeah, he's just not. I don't think he's ever going to
He's just
reach
not
the
going to be
level.
as good. No, he's never going to be as good as Kawhi, but just there's like a 1% chance that maybe it happens.
All right. The next one I think makes a little bit more sense for me. We have the next Anthony Davis. Who'd you have here?
Oh, I did not have this one on my list. I'll be completely honest with you.
Oh,
I might.
okay. Well,
Who
I
did
had
you
Evan
have?
Mobley. I mean,
Yeah, that's who I would have put as well.
I was kind of between like, should Chet be the next AD or Kawhi, but I wanted to have Mobley in here, and so I'm going with Anthony Davis. You know, the defense is the main thing for both of these guys. AD was an absolute, well, still is an absolute monster of a defensive anchor. Can't believe he's never won a defensive player of the year, because he is in the conversation every single time. And Mobley is going to be that way as well. He's probably not going to win defensive player of the year this year either. And also lost one to Jaren Jackson Jr. So you have that similarity, and you also, you know, both these guys are just freakish, like 7 foot 1 skilled guys. So.
Absolutely. I totally see it. I didn't put him in here because he's only 32. So I felt like it was just like he felt like he's not quite that other, but I mean, what's Kyrie's like 33 or something. So it's very slim cutoff. But, and Jimmy Butler's only, I have Jimmy Butler on this list and he's not that old either. But, yeah, AD off the top, I just pick Evan Mobley. You see it. It's defensive anchor, but a great offensive player as well. Probably never going to be the number one offensive player on a winning basketball or a finals or championship basketball team, but someone that is an elite number two option offensively, an elite defensive anchor, and just is really good at basically every facet of the game. So, and they have a similar size. That's kind of where I see it.
All right. Who's your next guy?
This one might be my favorite on the list. The next, James Harden. I put this as just a elite, good stats, bad team guy, someone that plays like he doesn't give a fuck ever. I think both of these guys kind of play around with that. Someone that makes a shot every game where you're just like, how the fuck did he just make that? I think they're very divisive as well. I think you're going to have people that think they're going to talk about how good these guys are, and some people that just don't like them because they don't contribute to winning basketball. And I have the next James Harden as LaMelo. just some guys that fuck around. Probably don't take it as seriously as you think, and I don't know if I see LaMelo ever being a meaningful winner, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I honestly think it's kind of disrespectful to Harden, because I don't think LaMelo's ever reaching the heights that Harden
Really?
did at his peak. I mean, he won an MVP.
Harden's awesome. He's going to be lost in history for how awesome he is.
He was the most unstoppable offensive player in the league, and like the 40-point game streaks or 30-point game streaks were insane. And also like Harden and those Houston teams. I know Harden like was always considered a playoff dropper, but they got the closest of maybe anyone to beating the KD Warriors. So I give Harden a little bit of credit for like the way that he. I know he didn't perform the same way at like an MVP level, but the Warriors still had to commit their whole defense to him, and he was still at a really high level in those playoffs. Just because he dropped a little bit doesn't mean he was all of a sudden just a bad player in the playoffs. There's still the what if if Chris Paul never gets hurt. So I think, Harden gets a little bit overly criticized for that. I do see like the LaMelo comparisons with just like the dribble the air out of the ball. Super talented guy kind of thing, but I don't think LaMelo will ever be as good as Harden was, even though
Who'd
I
you have?
kind of like LaMelo. I have LaMelo too. I mean, just by default, but I don't like it. I'll be honest.
I like it. I think it's pretty funny. I think LaMelo's gonna be good. I agree with
I
you.
don't think
James
LaMelo is
Harden
going to
is an
win
MVP.
MVP. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really see that either, actually, now that you mention it. I think LaMelo is one of those guys that you're gonna look back on in history and be like, holy fuck, he averaged 35 points per game this year. That
Yeah,
year, I mean,
that's true.
and they'll be like, holy shit, he averaged
But
35
will
and
it be on a
nine.
good team? Like Harden's doing that on a two seed or one seed or whatever they were.
Yeah, that's the problem. But I do think LaMelo makes his way over to one of those bigger. He's a marketable star guy. I think as soon as he's able to leave Charlotte, he's going to leave Charlotte. Absolutely. You don't think that?
I don't know. I even if he does, I just don't know if it'll lead to winning even in the regular
It's not
season.
going to lead to win. I don't think it's going to lead to winning. I think he's just going to go to a big market team and not win. would be my guess.
Yeah, but Harden did win in the
I
regular
know. I'm
season.
not saying he's. I'm not disagreeing with you in any way. I'm thinking that
Okay.
you're going to see him. Oh man, I just think he's gonna make it on a big market team. Like I could see him, I could see like him ending up in a Brooklyn or something where I guess because it's a bigger market because it's Brooklyn, but I don't know if there's a bunch of teams just the way the timing is of it. Maybe the Knicks kind of fall apart and they look to rebuild with LaMelo. I think that would be the most fun fit in the NBA, putting LaMelo in MSG. I think he would get. I think Knicks fans would fall in love with him and get very frustrated with him at the same time. But I just think it would be funny. Like, to me, it's almost a shame that he's in Charlotte just because I mean, I live here and people like him, but it's not a big market basketball team.
Dude, this Charlotte team got decimated. I'm still like, this
I
would have been
know.
a fun team. I mean, LaMelo
It
is
would have been
again,
fun, but you
it's
can't
the
sit here
Zion
and.
thing where the star is always injured, but the guys around him aren't always injured, so that just stunk this year.
That stunk. You can't sit here and tell me that Charlotte is a big market NBA team where the
No,
media
of course
covers it
not. I mean, I don't
consistently,
think
even if they
Brooklyn is
were.
either, but
I think Brooklyn has a potential. If Brooklyn's good, we just haven't seen them actually be incredible, really
yeah.
ever. And
Yeah.
I'm only saying it's a big market because it's fucking Brooklyn. That's a humongous part, like city part of New York.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what big market would actually add him, right? It's like the big markets are Philly, Miami. I mean, maybe he goes
Well,
down
we don't
there.
know. I mean, down the line, like what these
That's
teams
what,
are going to
yeah.
look like. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big part of it. But yeah, maybe Dallas figures something out. I don't know.
AD for LaMelo.
AD for LaMelo. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, it's just like people like him here because I'll like pull my Charlotte. I have a bunch of Hornets fans in my life and they like him, but they think he's goofy. I love Charlotte fans because they're kind of all in on the joke. Like, they know,
Yeah.
like when we go to the games, Vasily Micic got fouled and he went to the free throw line. They were chanting MVP. I thought that was so funny. Like everyone
Is.
there is in on the joke. They're like, we suck, but we're fun and we kind of fuck around. And that's what LaMelo is. He's like, this team sucks. I'm going to have 35
I'm
and
gonna fuck
not
around
win.
and get
Yeah,
35 on
fuck
my
around.
one leg
So
threes. Yeah, that's fair.
yeah, it's pretty fun. But okay, who's your next Kyrie?
The next Kyrie, so again, like impossible to predict a career trajectory of
Yeah, not doing
Kyrie.
that.
But through the first part of his career, Darius Garland is kind of Kyrie-esque, in that he plays for the Cavaliers and in that he's has one of the best handles in the league and is one of the shiftiest guards and a guy that's impossible to stay in front of. I don't think he's nearly as polarizing as Kyrie was, obviously, with the
You don't think
media.
that?
Yeah, shockingly, I don't think that.
You don't
Darius
think
Garland's a
mild-mannered Darius
pretty
Garland is anything like Kyrie?
Yeah, fair enough. But I'm just going Cavs, awesome handle. That's really it.
I can't wait to have him on the Celtics. Hopefully it works out better than Kyrie.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't stomp on the logo. I have two guys here. For me, it was either like SGA or what's his face? Tyrese Haliburton. And the reason is just the best handles and the best finishing. That was kind of where I took away Garland. Garland's an incredible finisher. I feel like I see him miss a ton of floaters and some stuff at the rim. Haliburton, Shea more so. Shea has these finishes. He had one tonight. I don't even know how to describe what happened. He had like, actually, he had more than one. He had like two or three tonight where it was just like, what? How the fuck did that go in? It
Yeah.
was the one that like kind of fell off the rim and just fell in. And I
It
was
was like
like,
a
of course this
right
goes in.
hand like
Yeah, yes. And
scoop
it was
on
like,
his, the
how did,
left side of his body. Yeah.
yes. And it just kind of, it was out. It was out and it was on the top of the rim and
Yeah.
somehow it just went in. And Shea, I don't think he gets enough credit for his handle. People call him a foul merchant. It's frustrating with the amount of fouls they call. He's not a foul merchant though. The stop start with him and his ability to go from 0 to 100 speed wise is fascinating. That's sort of like Kyrie-esque. He doesn't dribble like Kyrie. You would have a bunch of fast moves in succession, and that would be crazy. Shea is more so they're slower to kind of lull you, almost like Harden-esque, and then he has that very quick step and that very quick explosion. But just his ability to get to the rim and finish was Kyrie-esque to me in terms of just being the best at getting to the rim and finishing in the league. And then I would put Tyrese Haliburton second because Tyrese Haliburton's dribbling skills are incredible, his passing skills are incredible, and he's a good finisher as well, but he's not as good as Shea.
Yeah. All right. Who is your next Klay Thompson?
Okay, so I had it as number two on an incredible team, potential multiple time champion and utility kind of do it all guy. Doesn't really have any one thing that he is bad at really. And I have Jalen Williams. We
Yeah.
talked about him already. I was worried about him. You know, I mentioned in the past before break saying like, oh, he could be traded if he plays bad. I have belief in him. I think he will play good. He didn't play well tonight, but I see him being that, right? It's the star is Steph. The star is SGA. Those are the guys that's going to get it all. But these guys are really reliable number two guys that can just do it all. Don't really have any flaws in their game. They're guys that if you traded them away to a team in their prime, I don't know if they would be able to drag those guys to, I know they wouldn't be able to drag those guys to finals and, you know, win it all, but they're perfect, the ideal number two player. So that's why I have Jalen Williams.
Yeah, that's a great one. I think that makes the most sense. I'll just mention another guy here. I think that yours is probably a better answer, but I think Jalen Suggs kind of fits that mold too. I know Paolo's not quite like SGA or Steph level. Maybe one day he will be, but I think Suggs is just gonna be like, I think he's gonna be an all-star one day. Like I think he. Maybe it's not the multi-time champion thing, but I think he fits the mold of what you were talking about of like the ideal number two, just plays his role every single night, can go off when you need him to, and an awesome defender too. So I will shout out Jalen Suggs there.
It's
This one was
interesting that you didn't
tough.
go Franz.
Franz?
Yeah, because I
Yeah,
think Franz is good enough
I
to be
think of
number. He's
Franz
a number
as
one.
almost more than a number two. Like
I agree.
and I don't know if Franz and Paolo are gonna perfectly fit together. Like I think.
Let's flush that out a little bit. There's been signs about this. It happened last year when Paolo went out last year, and Franz kind of started popping off again. Then Paolo goes out with the oblique, and Franz starts popping off again. Then they're both healthy. Because obviously Franz gets the oblique, and now they have the worst offense in the NBA.
Yeah.
What is happening here? Like,
Well,
a lot of it's the players that surround them can't shoot.
they really can't shoot. And I don't want to do the Tatum and Brown thing where we try and break up these two young stars. But yeah, it's just like it's not a perfect fit because neither of them can shoot. And they're both like they kind of need to
Need the
have
ball in their
spacers around
hands.
them, and they also need the ball in their hands, so it's just not a perfect fit. But I mean, they can definitely figure it out. I think like at Franz's ceiling, I think he has the ball in his hands a ton.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, Kobe White was sitting there and
Kobe White.
was sitting right there, didn't add him, and I'll never get it. I'll never understand it.
True.
He was sitting right fucking there. You don't have picks. You're Orlando. You have picks. Why are we trying to? What are we doing here? Well, I don't get it. Frustrating. He was sitting right there. He would have been perfect. He would have been absolutely perfect, especially with Cole Anthony getting injured, Suggs being injured. Like, they need him. They needed him so bad. And
Yeah.
frustrating. Okay. Who is your next Carmelo?
Okay, so speaking of the Magic, this is where I have Paolo. I think
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Carmelo was like this all-time bucket getter but a guy who never really won and a guy who was always criticized for not making his teammates better. And I think it's like, I don't want to be so negative on Paolo, but at this point, he doesn't make his teammates better. And he is a guy that relies on a ton of tough shot making and a guy that's really just isolating and like backing guys down and taking up a ton of the shot clock and then hitting a tough shot at the end. It's like, oh, Paolo made another turnaround tonight. Like, cool. But I don't know if that play style leads to winning. And for Carmelo, it didn't. For Paolo, hopefully, he makes that playmaking jump and he makes a shooting jump and he becomes a different player because he has all the tools and all the talent, just like Carmelo did. So we'll see how his career works out. I'm just a little bit down on Paolo. I know he's been playing unbelievable as of late, but it's kind of just been an inconsistent ride here.
This is such a good one. That is so good. I must have just like Paolo must have just slipped my mind, but that's perfect. That's kind of exactly what he's been playing like he might end up being, which is Carmelo, where it's like really, really good player, really good offensive player, mid-range assassin, all that type of stuff. But I mean, he's just not making the teammates better. Like everything you said. That's a really good one. The one I even texted you before this. I hated this one that I picked because I love Carmelo and I think he's 1,000 times better than this guy. Although this guy is good, he's just never going to get to the point of Carmelo. But I had Michael Porter Jr. It's just shot
Just a
chucker,
shot
mid range.
chucker, yeah.
Yeah, shot chucker, mid range guy. It doesn't fit. It's the wrong answer, and I feel bad for it. Paolo is the right answer on this one. Good pick.
Well, yeah, MPJ is just not good enough at basketball. Like
Exactly. He's
the
not
play
good
style
enough.
maybe, but
Yeah, but even then, he shoots more threes than Carmelo did, and it's just not a good pick. It was a bad pick on my end, and I hands up accountability.
okay, fair enough. Did you have one for the next Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I do. Absolute dog who can drag his teams on his back. He's an alpha, and he's not the best player in the league, and I don't know if he ever will be, but he's a star. And this guy doesn't. He isn't. He is not nearly as what's it called? Can like he's not as destructive as Jimmy Butler has been to his teams because he's only been on one team his whole career. Who do you think I'm gonna pick? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I don't
I'm
know.
picking Booker. I'm gonna pick Devin Booker.
Oh, see, Booker's too old for this, I feel like. I almost had
Yeah, he's
someone be
old
the
too.
next
He's like,
Booker.
yeah, he's very old. He's 31, so he's actually that's the other thing. I said no AD, but they're pretty much similar ages. So.
He's not 31, he's 28, but
28. Oh, never mind. I thought he was 31. Never mind. I'm tripping. Oh, yeah. So he's still eligible. He's 28.
yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think, yeah, he's had like such a long career already.
Yeah, he has a long career, but someone that he went to a finals. So did Jimmy Butler. They both have won finals, and yeah, just a guy that kind of drags his team every year. And that finals team that he dragged. I'm doing quotations for someone if you're not on the video, but he like that's a good team that had Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul. So it was a really solid team. But he was the best player on that team and Cam Johnson as well. And he was the best player on that team. He brought them to the finals himself. And I don't know why I said himself because he had all these other guys, but you know what I'm saying? Like he went to a finals. He's good enough to drag teams to the playoffs, and he has kind of like this alpha dog mentality. But he's not as like insane as Butler is.
Yeah,
Butler's a tough one as well.
I was, this was tough too. I was thinking along the lines of alpha also. And like, it's hard with the young guys because they've only been on one team, but I had Cade for this. Just, I
Yeah,
don't
that's a good
know.
one.
I was just thinking of like the level of player and impact that I think Jimmy is slash was. I think Cade can get there where it's like, you're not the best player in the league, but you're really, really good and you can drag teams. So I went with Cade for that one. Quick ones that I thought about doing. I think there's maybe a Haliburton, Chris Paul, so maybe Jason Kidd somewhere in there.
I see Cade more.
I wanted
I've
to
been watching old
do
Nets.
the next Lillard, and I wanted to have a guy who was really good but stuck on one team his whole career. And I thought like maybe is Maxey at this weird organization where he's just never gonna have all this success. And then I really wanted to get a man in here, and I was like, the only guy, like, I was trying to think of someone who just had like a superpower like Amen does, and the only thing that was close was Giannis. And I know you're gonna be mad because Amen isn't gonna be as good as Giannis, but like, I just wanted to talk about him, so maybe that's why I said his name.
And we've already talked about him twice, and it's he's, yeah. I mean that is just I don't even
on.
know if you
All
without
right, how about
describing what
Maxey as
this.
the next Lillard? Does that make sense at
I
least?
like that one. That's a good one. I do like that one. I was struggling with Lillard. I thought about it, and I couldn't do it. CP3 I couldn't do either. I just don't think you have that type of guard in the league anymore with
That's
him.
true. Yeah.
Haliburton is the closest, but he's more kid to me, if that makes sense. I don't know why.
Fast break. Yeah. Chris Paul's
Fast
very half
breaky.
court surgeon. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like it's a little bit faster, and that I think that's what it is. There's other ones like Nick's Jokic couldn't do. I just don't think we'll have another one of him. Just guy who comes out of nowhere and is the best player in the league for multiple years
Yeah.
and drags his team to a finals and doesn't care. I couldn't figure that one out. The next Tatum, I think it's too early, but I just see Cooper Flagg is very Tatum-y to me.
Yeah, I see that.
Just the guy that he's really, really good. I don't think he'll ever be the number one best player in the league.
Really, you
Any other?
don't? A lot of people would be very mad that you just said that about Flag, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think Flag gets talked about like he's gonna be a multi-time MVP.
Well, then they haven't been. I just don't see that. I don't
You
see how they
don't
get
real
there.
I don't know. I don't know. I
He's really
mean, I
good.
don't.
I don't see him being multi-time MVP. He's incredible. Tatum's never going to win MVP.
No, I know. That's what I mean. Like, I
But
think the
Tatum's
play
incredible.
style is similar, but I think the prospect of Cooper Flagg is like this guy was a better prospect than Zion. Like, he's the best college prospect since
Hold on.
Anthony Davis.
I don't think he's a better prospect than Zion. He had better production than Zion. I don't know if that makes him a better pros like what Zion projected to be with his athleticism, things like that. I think that made him a better prospect, but
I've seen smart people say that exact thing. That's the only reason I'm saying it. I obviously don't watch a ton
yeah,
of college basketball.
I haven't watched enough to make, every time I've watched him, I'm like, it's like watching Tatum. It's Tatum. I didn't watch Tatum
I
as
think he's a
the.
little more, from what I've seen, more alpha than Tatum. A little bit less
Yeah,
like
he's alpha. He's very alpha. He yells a lot. His mouth is never o closed, always open.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's related to being alpha or not, but just in terms of
Is.
like the utility, like he's just a do it all. He has those
Yeah.
Tatum games, like honestly, sort of like last night. It was he wasn't really scoring that much. But he was like, and I was like, is Cooper having a bad game? And I was like, no, because I feel like he's facilitating. He's getting a bunch of important rebounds. He's not playing that bad. And I looked at the stats, and he filled out the stat sheet, and that's kind of like Tatum,
I mean,
where he'll just be like,
he had 27 or something.
yeah. But it was like, I don't know how to describe it. Like Walter Clayton was scoring a lot in that Florida game, and you felt it.
Yeah.
And Cooper was scoring as well, but he wasn't like. You weren't really feeling
Wasn't as
like it was a
loud.
Cooper Flagg game, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happens with Tatum, where you look up and you're like, oh shit, Tatum is 27, 11, and 9 right now.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get that a lot from Cooper. And he's just one of those guys. Like, I think he's willing to play to other guys' strengths to make his teammates better. He just cares about
I
winning.
agree. I totally
So
agree.
yeah, I don't know. He's going to be awesome. I would be
You're
kind of
down on
surprised if
him,
he.
dude. You hate him.
I'm not down on him. He's going
You
to be
clearly
incredible.
hate
I'd be pretty
him.
surprised if he was a multi-time MVP. This is the league's deep, man. I just think there's going to be a bunch of guys that have a better skill set for that.
Yeah. I
Like
mean, multi-time MVP is tough, but
yeah.
maybe one like top three
One wouldn't
player.
shock me. Tatum's been close to one. I just think like
Tatum hasn't really been close. He's like top
he's been like
five.
top four.
Yeah.
Yeah. In voting, I mean that's close enough, right? I mean,
I think people
look, think
expect
about
more
it.
from Cooper.
Yeah, I just maybe it's because of how big his name is. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, but granted, I haven't watched enough to make like this definitive. It's just every time I've watched him, I feel like he's very Tatum-esque to me, and maybe it's because he's at Duke and he's a taller forward that
Yeah,
handles the
can
ball
do
well and
everything.
is a high utility guy, but. To me, I don't really. I like Malak though. He had a bad game last night, I thought, but that
Yeah,
guy's a
he had a
difference
really bad
maker.
game, but he's going to be awesome in the league.
Yeah,
It's just like the
he's
most
only been
sure
playing.
thing ever.
Yeah, he's only been playing basketball for like 4 years, so I think, like,
Yeah.
he's just gonna be Gobert, but like a likable
Well, he can
Gobert.
catch the ball. So,
Yes,
I
he'll be a
mean, who knows
likable
if he'll
Gobert.
have quite Gobert impact defensively, but he's going to be a defensive anchor of at some level. If it's
Yeah.
actually Rudy Gobert, then that's great, but
Yeah, that'll
he's
be a
going to be better
defensive
on
peak for
offense.
him. Yeah, he'll be better. Yeah, exactly. Like he can catch lobs, and he did last night. I mean, he stunk. He stunk, but it's.
Dude, Rudy, it's not even like that he can't catch. Like, yes, he can catch lobs, but that's literally
Dude, he
all
just
he
like
can do on
air.
offense. He
Yeah, he
can't, he
like
has
air
no touch.
balls.
Like, he can't dribble. He can't. He
He'll get the
doesn't
ball
have
in the
a
post.
hook,
Yeah, he
nothing.
like he'll air ball hook shots, and he's 2 feet from the rim. It's
Yeah,
I've never
Malawach
seen
can do
anyone
the
do that.
regular like baseline
Yeah,
big man stuff like
and
every other big.
he started playing when he was like 15. and he can do that. And Gobert, I don't know when Gobert started playing, but I think it was before he was 15, and he can't do that. So, and
Really funny.
he's just more likable than Gobert. Gobert is extremely unlikable. I'm trying to think of other guys like in that range of older kind of guy. Like Giannis is someone interesting where it's just like who's the next freak of nature.
Amen
And
Thompson, we already did it. We
I know we
agreed.
discussed that, but it's like
It
I guess when you say it that way, it does make sense.
could have been
Like next.
Zion, but the injury stuff, probably not.
Yeah, I don't know of anyone coming up. I wish I knew the prospects a little better. We still have to deep dive our draft
Yeah.
guides and everything like that. But yeah, I think like doing this exercise made me realize that there's a very interesting young group coming up, and I really can't wait to see. Right now, it's like it's the round of 64 for young guys, and over time, it's going to kind of even out, and we'll
Wow.
figure out who the stars are, and everything will kind of settle down. But it's very interesting to see. I
What a
can't wait.
March Madness analogy. Good job. All
Yeah, but
right.
you know what I'm saying, right? Like we got like 20 plus guys that we think are going to be fucking awesome, and eventually it's just they're gonna kind of stall out, and I
Some
can't wait
of
to see
them,
what.
yes. Yeah, so one of these guys has to be super polarizing and demand a trade at some point, and we're gonna be like, what? It's this guy? He was the diva? Like,
Or it's
Darius
going to be
Garland
like,
wants out?
or it's going to be like maybe something different happens and they just start staying and they're all like Tatum and they just stay with their team.
There's no way. There's no
I'm
way.
just trying to put things out so that way Tatum stays forever. I really don't want him to leave the basketball team. I'd be crying so much. All right. That has been enough. Thank you all for listening to Jordan and I discuss our NBA career comps. As always, check us out on TikTok, Jordan. Oh, yeah. I forgot to say this. Congratulations. Jordan just quit his job because he's making enough money on TikTok to survive without a job. So, congratulations, man. Seriously, you
I
deserve
did,
it.
yeah.
And thank all of you guys for that. He would not have been able to do that without any of you guys. So seriously, thank you all for liking and subscribing and reposting and doing everything that you do on our social media and on our podcast. If you want more long form content, obviously, please check out the YouTube, The Couch JD. It's not JD fu Vance fucking a couch. That will come up for you. So please don't watch that. Or I mean, you can watch that, but just watch us first. But yeah, please like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, if you're on Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, Amazon Prime, wherever you get this podcast. Please like and rate us 5 stars. It really helps us out. And you can follow us so you get notified when we post. If you like any of our content, please repost it. It really helps us out as well. If you want to follow any of our areas on social media where we make content, you can look at the link tree, which is in the description of every episode. Just click on there. You'll find our TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, whatever we're posting on, which is just about everything. Check out Jordan on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle? I don't remember.
Jordan underscore Dyer underscore.
Yeah, he's starting to get some leeway. We had a big account repost your tick one of your TikToks, so check him out. And then I'm Lebelzik Max on Twitter. I don't really tweet about NBA that much. I tweet about like every other sport. I've been watching so much MLB recently, so there's that. But thank you all for listening. We will be back later, and peace.